Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It was just fabulous to see Malloy going up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, thank you. Let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a foot behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man.
Yes, and welcome to the Donegal GAA podcast with Ocean FM. Paddy McGill here, coming from Celtic Park in Derry, where Donegal have defeated the Allianz National League Division 1 winners Derry on a scoreline of 4 goals and 11 points to 17 points. So certainly a happy podcast. We hear from Donegal manager Jim McGuinness, Donegal players Jason McGee and Ryan McHugh. Later on in the show, we also have Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life. We also hear and touch base from former Tyrone player Kyle Coney. But up first, my commentary team on Ocean FM this evening. It's Kilcar's Mark McHugh and the Donegal Democrats, Peter Campbell, and here's what they had to say.
Well, that is a super performance that Donegal has put in under Jim McGuinness. Everything just done according to the game plan, everything was stuck to it. We got the goals at the right time, and that's helped us with them, I think, a lot, the way they play. And I would say Donegal targeted that. They thought, listen, we get on a break, if we get on one or two, we can get them goals, and we did. But all over the field, listen, I can't commend them players enough for what they've done today. They are out on their feet out there. The whole Celtic Park is covered in green and yellow, and I'm sure they're out there. All they want to do is take a break and take a drink of water. But listen, what a performance. Jim McGuinness, we spoke about that time, you know, his last championship game was the All-Ireland final. It was a disappointing day for Donegal, but before that, that was the last big day in Donegal, that All-Ireland semi-final that we got to. This is the next best thing. I know we've won an Ulster or two maybe in the meantime, but this, from where we were last year to where we are today, this was an unbelievable day for Donegal football.
Yeah, the quality of Donegal, I think that's what you have to look at today. Their transition of the ball, the number of breaks they won in the middle of the field. It's so much that they did right today. You wonder could they reach that level? But like the level they reached, Derry weren't able to match it. You said at halftime that ahead at half time. It could have been 5 or 6 at
half time.
Again,
we were disappointed with that.
Disappointed, yeah. And we were coming in here wondering, you know, would we be, and I think we would have been happy if we had a match Derry coming in here and maybe get away with a point or a couple of 2 points in the defeat. But we knew at half time that Donegal were much, much better than this Derry team. And you know, whether Derry didn't turn up on the day, it's very, very hard to say. They were very, very poor, I thought. Like their main players didn't really show up, apart from Mason Doherty, probably the only player of their 15 that played up to their standard. And like they are a good team. So the way that Donegal have the plan that Jim McGuinness put in place for this team, but I think it was not too much the plan. I know the long balls, the long kick outs certainly worked very, very well for one of the breaks, but I was so impressed with their handling. It was so sharp. Compared with maybe during the league, but he was trying things during the league. But today was a perfect day for playing the type of football that Donegal players play. They have the talent, they have the skill levels, which I think are equal, if not better, than other countries. And all we needed was Jimmy Gibbs back there as manager, and the plan he put together. Like, what is that going to do for Donegal supporters? Oh, it's unbelievable, you know, the lift that that'll give the county. And you know, they have to be so proud of the way that team played.
Yeah, lads, look, we three of us soldiered last year and that, and it was a tough year, and who would have foreseen 12 months later that this could actually happen? And I know people will say it's early doors, but you have to simply enjoy each win they come, or else you'll never enjoy life, because you'll always be looking ahead. But at the moment, I've said it 100 times, Derry were going for 3 in a row in Ulster. They won the National League. Last year they were at the penultimate stage, lost out to a brilliant Kerry team who were all Ireland champions, just at the death. The feeling was, and I read into McGinley's piece this morning and Dick Clerican's piece, and they both said, like, Derry have now found their final part, and that's Mickey Hart, and he's come in here. He's a 3-time All Ireland winner. He done well with, you know, he done well with Louth as well, and he's come in here, and it's in Celtic Park, a ground Donegal do not know that well. Only, you know, a handful have played here, and they've come, and not just one, lads, one playing, you know, every type of game here today. It was, Mark, you're just agreeing with me, I think, for the first time ever. Thank you, Mark. That's because Donegal had a big win, but you would go along with that.
I think it's unbelievable. You know, I relate to all your points there. Like, and I'm actually buzzing here. Obviously, like, I have a brother involved, and I know the work and the dedication that them lads have put in since really October, October, November time. And, like, you know, I'd be straight. I took my wee fella up to the game the other day, and all he really wanted to come up to watch was Conor Glass. He wanted to come up to watch Conor Glass, because that's the people he's been seeing this last night. They don't know the feeling that, I suppose, last year, the year before, Donegal won in big games. I guarantee you'll be talking about every Donegal player going home, and that is what we need in the county. We need the young people following, and that's why we talk about success breeds success. But, like, for to a man that Donegal team today, they deserve so much credit. I can't say a bad word about any one of them. I am a wee bit worried about Deshaun Patton and you know, injury, and, like, how important he is. So Gavin Mooney came on and he just slotted in seamlessly. He caught a ball underneath his post. He made Jamie Brennan go out the field. But I, obviously, you know, as Donegal men, we have to be worried about Patton, because he did limp off. But to a man, I'm not even going to start going through men, because it wouldn't be fair to single any man out. But to a man, for that 30-man panel and every man involved in that management team, what a performance, what a game plan, and you know, what a day for Donegal, Paddy. We'll keep saying it, and you know, I'm very pessimistic, and I came up here today and I was like, you know, I was obviously worried with the way Derry is, but listen, it's not that they have proved me wrong. They have put on a performance for the ages, were remembered for the ages, and I'm delighted for each and every one of them.
Yeah, and in some ways it's a new look Donegal team, because it's so changed from last year. Like, we were missing Patrick and Ryan last year, you know, but again, I suppose we're missing Conor O'Donnell, Caelan McCall, and they still have to come back into this team, Owen Bann as well. You know, it's brilliant, the talent that has come through with a new look team. He's come in here to beat the Division 1 champions, and not just beat them, you know, it's a 7-point annihilation
in their backyard. Like, it's just mad. I don't think any of us, Peter, here in our wildest dreams thought, you know, that we were going to win the game as comfortably. Okay, Derry tacked on a few scores at the end of the game, but listen, it was a hockeying match. And, you know, we spoke about our man beating Fermanagh, like, the last day by 9 or 10 points. That's hockeying. Ulster Championship football, it's a hockeying. But they got hockeyed with Derry the day. There's no other ways about it. And, you know, towards the second half of that end, you know, Derry just giving up the ghost. They were kicking pot shots, everything. Listen, I'm not saying that this could be the best thing in the world for Derry, because now they take a wee break for a while. They come into the, you know, the top of the league, so they're going to get a seed at 3. Anybody can play them. Nobody will want to obviously play them. So that could be the best thing for them in terms of an All Ireland, and they get a
wee taking down the hype.
It might take it down the hype as well. But in terms of Mickey Hart against Jim McGuinness, it's another nail at the stab into his back. So
it could be very funny if they were drawn in the same group later on.
That is possible.
In the All Ireland series, it probably is. The fact that they're knocked out in the quarter final, they'll probably be well down the list now. I don't know what the league finalist. Does that give them a higher grading in the All Ireland series?
No, it all depends. It depends if somebody that, you know, got into the provincial. Or, and listen, there's big economies. The only thing I will say, and listen, we have to enjoy this victory, but the way the Ulster Championship is so unfair. I'll be honest with you, it's so unfair. We have a 7-day turnaround here. Jim McGuinness will be getting in his car tonight and heading to Oma tomorrow morning to watch Cavan and Tyrone. And listen,
suppose we have an extra day.
I think it's totally unfair the way it is.
Absolutely.
At least 2 or 3. Like, how can you put a shift like that and be expected to play? Like, you really have to look at it. I know Jared Burns came out during the week, but, you know, I'll not even go into that kind of debate right now. But it's not fair on Tyrone, and it's not fair on Donegal, or Tyrone Cavan, or it's not fair on Donegal.
No.
But Donegal still have a very hard patches to go on this Ulster Championship. They have a big game next week, and then they'll probably, you know, Armagh down in the final. So a lot done today, and it's just, as I said, I can't get over it. What a day for Donegal, and the buzz will be about the county for the week. We'll be around club football tomorrow. Everybody will be chatting about Donegal football again, and that's the way we want it.
Okay, the dust has somewhat settled and we've had our chance to somewhat again catch our breath. And thanks there to Mark McHugh for joining me on commentary with Peter Campbell, and the Donegal Democrat man has stayed on. And big thanks to Kyle Coney, who was on duty today with RTE with Marty Morrissey. You were just about a metre and a half away from us here. Donegal have beaten Derry 4-11 to 17 points. I'm still pinching myself here, Kyle. I can't believe it. Peter Kent, Mark McHugh, those Donegal supporters, not just a win, but hammering. You are a neutral observer. What did you make of it?
Yeah, being honest, I didn't see it coming. I don't think an awful lot of people seen it coming. But credit to where credit's due. Donegal hurt Derry where I think they're most weakest, and it's on a Donegal kick out or an opposition kick out, because they go with a zonal press, and I think that is when Derry are the most vulnerable, because they push so many men ahead of the ball. They go with a zonal press, Owen Lynch comes out, and Donegal exploited it beautifully out the back door today. It was a masterclass from Jim McGuinness along the line. Tactically, he got everything spot on, got his matchups, bringing Jason McGee in. Like, being honest, I was speaking to Martin McHugh beforehand, and he says to me, I'm a bit fearful for our middle of the field. He says, no, Rodgers and Glass on the ground are so mobile.
Our lads haven't played a huge amount, Michael Lang and McGee. They've missed a lot, and they're a brilliant midfield, but they just missed a lot of football. That was probably his concern.
I'll tell you what, it wasn't obvious today, because they were exceptional, you know. As I say, credit where credit's due. Bringing Jason McGee in was a big move.
So what was the biggest factor? If you had to nail one for Donegal, was it just finding Derry's weaknesses?
Well, at the end of the day, that's what it's about. You know, you find the opposition's weakness and you exploit it. And I said it on co-commentary earlier, I was here against Monaghan in the league with Derry. Derry gave Monaghan an absolute spanking. There was three goals scored by three defenders. But I was noticing something, just every time Daniel McDonald would kick the ball out from Monaghan, and Monaghan would win premier possession, there was three passes backwards before it was going forward. But I could see all this green grass. When Donegal would get the ball today on the primary possession, they won it. First pass was forward, and there's acres in front of them, and four goals shows that. I know one of them was a penalty, but they got two off Owen Lynch being off his line.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt about that. Coming into it, what did you think would happen? Like, what were you expecting? Derry by about what, 3, 4, 5 points?
I was asked for a prediction beforehand, and I said Derry by a couple. I thought that it would be a close, cagey game. I thought that Donegal would mirror to a certain degree, but I thought Derry's just methodical system and playing that sort of game over the last number of years, they might just eke it out and they just might have more confidence in their system. But to me today, they were taking pot shots, and whenever you're under that wee bit of pressure, you start to take shots from places that aren't on and you don't normally do. And it's a position we haven't seen this Derry team under Mickey Hart in, is chasing games. Like, Conor O'Hara's been exceptional for Derry, but there's a ball played over his head here this evening about 10 minutes in the second half, and he looks so leggy. When you're chasing the game, it's totally different. Your energy just zaps. And Donegal, what they did numerous times today was, if it wasn't on, they were happy to go 6, 7, 8 passes back and hold it. And they found Ray McHugh, Kinnell, Kieran McGonagall punching holes. It was brilliant from Donegal. You have to give him credit where it's due.
A tactical masterclass,
yeah,
from
McGinnis. I would say that it was. The players have to implement it. You know, like, I haven't seen Ryan McHugh play like that, and maybe, I know he wasn't part of the Donegal panel last year, but I haven't seen him play like that in 2 or 3 years. Jamie Brennan, come on, he was a complete thorn on Tyrone's side under Jim McGuinness from 2011 to 14. We couldn't handle him. Today, busting forward, comes on, scores a goal. So to me, you need the players and the. As I said as well,
yeah, a little bit Declan Bonner aside, sorry, yeah, a few years later, yeah.
There was nobody else I think could get this Donegal team playing that way, only Jim McGuinness.
Some change from me and you doing an interview.
Yeah, a few times.
But that's, we've talked about, there was nearly like an eerie final before Donegal games, even the ball was even through in. Now today, we probably didn't know what to expect in regards to what way the result would come, but I tell you what, it's just blown the door completely off the Ulster Championship.
Just going to ask you one question before you go, and you're so good for staying on with me. Peter Campbell, would you go along with all of that? Is this, like, it's an ambush, isn't it? Now, that Donegal team management won't think it's an ambush inside, but it's one of his. Is it one of McGuinness's best victories? I'm going back to winning Ulster in 11. I'm going back to beating Cork in 2012 semi-final. Not a lot of people realise Donegal were big outsiders that day.
there was the Dublin 2014 game. There have been a few. Is this right up there?
Yeah, I think the Dublin 2014 game is probably something similar to this, because they went with the long kickouts that day as well, and the undid Dublin with the long kickouts. Today, I think that their kickouts strategy worked so well for them. I don't know if it could have been any more perfect, because they actually won the breaks as well. And as Kyle said, when they did win the ball, they were looking to see the gap behind, and there was gaps behind all the time. But the transition of the Donegal players from their full back line, I thought was excellent. Their ball handling, the quickness of the play, they had the ball past the middle of the field in three and four moves every time, and just Derry weren't fit to handle that. I know they probably weren't expecting it, but they were found out very, very early. Donegal could have been well more than 1 point up at half time, and then in the third quarter, those two goals from the goalkeeper getting caught out and the penalty, they were again from quick balls over the top, and Shane O'Donnell got maybe lucky enough to get a penalty. I think, judging by the TV footage, may have been outside, but you know, again, he had beaten Christy McCaig with a lovely dummy and got inside him, and Christy had to haul him down. So, you know, it was almost perfect for Donegal. But the only thing probably that, and they'll probably will take it up when they go back and do the review, some of the shooting in the third quarter, probably a couple of pot shots as well. Aaron Doherty, Jason McGee had a couple of efforts that they probably should have been maybe more careful with, and probably worked it in. They weren't really on, but you know, you're nitpicking at this stage. You know, to do what they did on a day like this, when you're going into the Lions Den and playing a team that were probably number one in Ireland at the, you know, before the game, form wise, to overturn them and beat them by 7 points, and it was a very, very convincing 7 points in the end.
From a Donegal point of view, you'd have to, and I'll ask you one more as well, Peter, and I'll let you go after this one. From a Donegal point of view, I suppose coming into this, people with the new quick fire nature of the championship, it could be Tyrone or Cavan, you know, next week. By the time a lot of people probably listen to the podcast on their Monday morning commute, we'll know who wins that. It's not easy, the Ulster Championship. Donegal could go out in 8 days time and lose, but however, from our point of view, from the supporters' point of view in Donegal, you have to just enjoy victories, and it is a bit of a statement, isn't it, from a Donegal point of view, from you, from the outside looking in?
Without a shadow of a doubt, it's a statement victory.
Can I just say, I'm sorry for interrupting you, Donegal are actually still missing quite a few players. Omban Gallagher is going to be a massive player for Donegal, and you talk about quick transitions, Peter spoke about it, from defensive talk, and Caelan McColgan, and a couple of people, maybe he was in the scene last year, brilliant performances, and a lot of people maybe from down the country wouldn't be that familiar with Caelan McColgan, yet he's an outstanding player. He can play anywhere around that rear guard as well, with Conor O'Donnell, you know, to come back. Patrick McBrearty just played a couple of minutes today. Donegal's ace marksman, along with Gallen, and probably missing one or two as well. So
actually mentioned Conor O'Donnell in some of his talks after league matches. He's a player that he wants to play with, because he has that directness, but he also can score. So, you know, he's a big cog for them for the summer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it is a statement.
Well, it's a statement victory. Going back to your first point, Paddy, was it's a short turnaround time. Tyrone and Cavan are out tomorrow evening, tomorrow afternoon, and Donegal had Sean Patton. Obviously, I genuinely thought it was a bit of sportsmanship, but the first half he was down, he was maybe slow in the play. Even though Donegal were in front, Derry were on the attack. They had a couple in a row, so he was slowing it down. But obviously, he had some kind of knock, because he had to go off in the second half. So it'll be interesting to see if he can, whatever that may be, if it'll be a hip or a leg injury of some sort, if he can get his body rest and recovered again. And
he's unreal, isn't he?
His kickouts, the trajectory of his kickouts make them the kickout that they are. There's no hanging time. He's kicking. I watched the kickout he kicked in the first half. He took two steps and he landed it nearly in the opposition 45. And there you were playing with the breeze. It's the trajectory. He never gets much height in it, but they're going like bullets. And I remember the old tactic that they used against Tyrone before would have been Michael Murphy up the middle and McHugh over the top with a flick on. They've come up with something similar today. Now, they weren't looking flick ons, but they were looking to win primary possession and go over the top with a kick or a hand pass. But the Ulster Championship is just now, people were probably thinking that Derry were coming through this side of the draw and Armagh were probably coming through the other side. Now we don't know what's going to happen. Even tomorrow, Cavan and Tyrone's probably a lot closer than people will think, because it's not a foregone conclusion maybe that it has been in previous years.
So,
and we saw Sligo today putting it up to Galway. Cork were close to Kerry. Now, we were here. We didn't get to see really the matches in full or anything like that. I'm not sure how they, in terms of how the games themselves, apart from the final scores. But this was the big game. Yeah, this was the big one. Just a final word, Kilcony and Derry will be. In terms of its ramifications going forward, and we said it on the podcast during the week, Derry now, I think they're out next around the 18th of May, and I apologise if I get that one wrong, but it's around the 4-week mark, so probably bring down the hype levels from a Derry point of view, but knowing maybe that this is performance in them is a big concern.
Well,
they'll still be fine, if you know what I mean. But
knowing Mickey Hart and being part of his teams for a number of years, what he will do, he'll look at the goals, the two goals, he'll take them out of the game. And then he'll assess his game, because he'll say that this is two things, two goals that won't happen again. That's what he will do. So that's the way he'll assess the situation. And it was a 7 point, and but it wasn't 7 points. But that's my point. So they'll take it down. They might let players go back to their clubs for a week, just to get a bit of downtime, because it has previously happened. So it's the big thing the next day. It is if Owen Lynch comes trotting out the pitch and stands on the kick out, do they go with that? Because if teams can go over the top of it now, the only thing I would say from a Donegal point of view, I don't see Kerry and Dublin playing the same way. So Dublin will keep a couple of players up the pitch, where it was very much like a game of basketball today. It was you attack, we attack, and then the counter attack. So Dublin and Kerry will go a bit more man on man and keep players up the pitch till a certain degree. So it's interesting. It has made the championship now.
You go away, and you're a brilliant analyst, by the way, and you're a brilliant footballer. But go away with your Kerry and Dublin for now.
I think it's great that Kyle.
What do we both notice?
Talking about Donegal, Kerry, and Dublin. I think that's brilliant at this stage.
I'm loving that. But no, Kyle, you're so good, and you always come on the show, and I know you're always busy. If there's I know your wife at home can just turn around and she can blame me for you getting home so late. So you're so good. How long does it take you to get home from here?
About an hour and a half. There's a wee pub up there. We might just call in for a Coke.
Absolutely. A little My Waddy or something like that. Kyle Coney, you're a gentleman. You're on duty today with Marty Morrissey with RTE. Thank you so much for joining me in the Donegal GAA podcast. Final word, Peter Campbell. We said it at the outset. Whatever happens going forward, anything can happen. So, like, you're not going to be going too mad at the same time. But you have to enjoy life. And we'll see you, Kyle. You have to enjoy life and enjoy each victory as they come. I have one or two people in my WhatsApp circles, and they'll be saying, but the good losing actually good. Yeah, but so what? This performance is in Donegal. If you look forward like that into anything in life, even your career or anything, and you're always looking forward and you're not enjoying the present, then there's no actual point in that. You have to enjoy the present. All the great thinkers would say that themselves, and McGuinness is a great thinker, and okay, they won't be out partying this week or anything because of the close nature of the championship, but it's just, it feels good to come up here and put Donegal football back on the map.
Yeah, and like probably after what happened last year, and it was a difficult time for Donegal, but you know, to see them 12 months later, like, they're, it's a complete turnaround altogether. We haven't seen a Donegal performance like that in probably a long, long time. I still go back to the 2014 All-Ireland semi-final against Dublin. That was on a par with it today, and that's probably two of the best performances overall. Like, we go further back than that, obviously. The 12 final, the semi-final against Cork in 2012 were brilliant performances. But for a complete performance, and like, we're post Michael Murphy. We've been talking about Michael Murphy for the last year, couple of years, but there was no Michael Murphy out there today, and yet that Donegal team performed like a team that Michael Murphy was involved in. And you know, isn't that great to see? It'll be a great lift, as Hank Mark said earlier. But young fellas going to watch club football this weekend, the talk will be mainly about how Donegal played today, and they'll be all talking about who was Donegal's best player, and there'll be about 10 different players, and like, that's very, very is probably the most important factor from this win, that so many Donegal players play to a very, very high standard.
Yeah, I'm really struggling to pick a man of the match, and that's a good thing, isn't it, when you can't actually... Maybe by the time the podcast goes out and people watch it on TV, you cannot get another grasp of it. We're just going on the raw emotion that the game's over and watch it back late tonight, maybe myself, and that I totally take your point. And look, just a final word on it, and... You know, I think it was a great Liverpool manager that said sport's not the most important thing, but it's the most important of the least important things. So life's hard for people. People, you know, might be struggling in that. And that's what sport does, though, because it's not the be-all and end-all, but it is very important and puts a smile on people's faces, isn't it? And it just gives them something to look forward to, because life can be tough at times. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and today was one of those days that it reminded me of maybe Clonus in the July back in when I was... a lot younger than I am today.
When you were in your pomp, and you still are.
and the weather was like a July Sunday as well in Clonus with that sun, and like we were coming into Derry at before 4 o'clock, and the cars from Donegal were a mile out from the Brandywell part there. So, you know, there was a good Donegal support here today, and they got certainly something to shout about, and like it'll be a very, very good week for them going forward.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate your time, Peter Campbell. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast, and once again thanks to yourself and Mark McHugh for joining me on a commentary with Ocean FM as well. Up next, it's Donegal manager Jim McGuinness, who has returned in his second coming, and no doubt he is delighted as he spoke to various reporters in the immediate aftermath of his side's victory.
We're delighted to get through. It's a big step for us, but we also know that, like, I personally feel it'll, you know, Derry and Dublin and Kerry are the top three teams in the country, but for us it puts us in the Ulster semi-final, and that was the only thing that was ever, you know, that was the only thing that was ever important to us, is trying to get into that next round of the championship. And now we've got to go again in 8 days' time.
For a team, you're like, you're at the start of your journey compared to where they are. And you didn't touch the ball for the first 6 minutes. I think it was about 7 minutes before you strung a pass together.
Yeah.
Like, are you standing there going, right, I hope they know that this will turn, or
no,
what were you feeling at that?
Derry make you suffer, that's the bottom line. Derry can make you suffer, you know, the top teams can make you suffer with the ball. We had an idea of what we wanted to do, and we wanted to stick to that, and you know, you have to keep working and believing in all moments, whether you're up or whether you're down, and so nothing ever is going to go in a straight line, and we just had to deal with that in those moments, you know. And even the second half there, you know, we let Derry into it a wee bit, and I felt that there was more, we were able to penetrate more, we were pulling the trigger from too far out, and decision making was off a wee bit, you know. So there is definitely areas to work on going into the next round.
Was the fact that they push Oran Lynch up for all long kickouts, was that something that you looked at long from a long way out
Alison,
to target?
The kickouts are just, the kickouts are almost everything in the game now. It's incredibly difficult to shut goalkeepers down. It's just so difficult, and a lot of teams are looking at that, and they're also looking at, you know, well, if that is the case, you know, we need options B and C as well, and a lot of teams now have those options. Like Derry done serious damage against Dublin over the top themselves, you know, and we did damage today, and you know, they're just moments in the game, Malachy. They're just moments in the game, and sometimes that ball drops to you, and sometimes it drops to them, and sometimes, you know, teams put a lot of time and effort into trying to make them work, but yeah, like they are huge in the game now, the kickouts. They're huge in the game.
It's good to be able to bring on the other goalkeeper, and he can do it just as well.
Aye, no, definitely, and you do need that. You need he's a big boot. You know, he does have a very big boot. So you do need that depth.
There's a lot of hunger in the middle third, Jim, in terms of breaks as well, on top of that.
Aye, probably, yeah. It's always the point that's trotted out whenever you won the game, you know, and as I was saying earlier, like a lot of these moments are very fine moments, you know. It's almost like a ball that you shouldn't win and you can get your hands on it, it can turn a game. So to be honest with you, we were very poor in that regard the whole way up to this point. You know, breaking ball hasn't been top of our list the whole way through the National League. But listen, you just have to try and building blocks and building blocks and building blocks and putting plans in place as best you can. And today they fell for us. The next day could be a different story again, you know.
Jim, what does it do for the overall belief in the group, given where they were when you came back?
I hope it helps a lot. Like, I hope that that it will add a lot to the belief, you know. The problem is we have an 8-day turnaround here and we've got to get ready to go again, and there's no time to sit on anything, you know. We've got to get straight into it now, and it does feel good to be able to, you know, I suppose take a breather tonight and then get on the road tomorrow and get up and watch the other game, and to be sitting in the stand knowing that you're through is brilliant. But then after that, it'll be, as soon as you know who's coming out of that other game, it'll just be it'll be full on for another week, you know. And it's actually very, very difficult to do your job in a week. Like, it's almost impossible to do your job in a week. Like, it's a bandage over a dam type of situation, you know. There's just so much now to take into account, and trying to pull that together over, you know, two nights, and they're not going to be able to train one of the nights anyway. They're going to be sore after that, I would imagine, into the middle of next week. So it's tough. It's tough. An extra week or so would make a big difference.
Sean had to go off there as well.
We'll have to look at it, but he did brilliantly when he was on.
What about that, like, strange situation where he has to go off the pitch, like?
Yeah, we didn't know what was wrong, and we didn't know what was going on, and it was a genuine injury, and he had to come off with the injury. And
that's a new rule, Jim.
Yeah, I know it's a new rule, but I don't agree that if the goalkeeper gets injured and it's genuine, that he should have to come off the pitch. Like, I can't get my head around that. Like, you know, and we could have conceded a goal in those moments, but yeah, listen, I understand why the rule was put in place, but when you're in the receiving end of it and it's not working for you, you're always going to have a comment on it, you know.
It's a bit bizarre that he has to come as well, that he has to come sort of round to the halfway line.
Yeah, well, listen, you boys are more in tune than that than me.
I don't know what gives you that note.
Soccer rule.
That's what I was thinking.
McCall got through the...
In soccer, you can be flagged back on.
Yeah, I know where you see now, but you don't have to go back.
No, but we had to wait for the ball to go to play, as well as understand.
Jim, in preparation for today, just everyone, you know, kind of were saying that going off, we're going to be up against it. Did that play into your mentality and team's mentality? Was it about staying calm, or was it hitting the walls to prove a point?
We were up against it, that's the bottom line. Derry are a top team, and I think Derry will show that they're a top team over the course of this championship again. And maybe we've done Derry, a benefit tonight, to be honest with you. They'll get a chance now to recuperate and, you know, build towards the All-Ireland series, and they've shown everybody for the last number of years, but particularly this year in the National League, they can beat anybody. We're still a work in progress, you know, and that's the bottom line. And you get days when things really work out and days when maybe not so. So we just have to take that and move on and try and focus on the next game, and Derry will be starting to focus on the All-Ireland.
Okay, up next, it's Clonhilly's Jason McGee, and that he is followed by Kilcar's Ryan McHugh. I am delighted to be joined by Clonhilly and Donegal's Jason McGee, and I need a stepladder. I knew you were big from looking at you from the commentary box down the years. My God, you're a huge man. Huge, huge win. Jason, how do you reflect on that?
It's kind of... I probably won't sink in until I get home tonight and sit back and think about it. The adrenaline here is still going, I suppose. It's the one we knew we had in us, and we came here with full intentions of turning Derry over high, and just the lads grew into themselves so much out there today, and it was just a terrific team to be a part of at the minute. And hey, we'll get ready now and give another rattle next weekend.
What was it like to play on? It looked absolutely ferocious from our vantage point.
I would say. I suppose when you're in the middle of it, hey, a lot of that thing goes over your head, but once I came off there, I was sitting there for the last 5 or 10 minutes looking around. Hey, the buzz was mighty. The support were unbelievable again. Hey, and it's just, we're very grateful for them to be there as well.
Got a brilliant platform off your kick out. Just thought Sean Patton was absolutely sublime in that opening half. The number of lads have said it already in the podcast. Kyle Coney, Peter Campbell, Mark McHugh. And it was the old school, the little flick-ons from yourself, your buddy Michael Langan, the O'Donnells were in there. Ryan McHugh's offloads were incredible. It was just really rolling back the years. But Patton gave us that platform, we felt.
Yeah, with Patton. Patton is one of the most accurate and biggest boots in the country, like Barron. And I suppose when we look around the middle, we have some height around the pitch as well. And we have some dogged smaller boys to be running around for the breaks. And it's just something we took advantage of today. If we can utilise Patton's kickouts as much as possible. And our big lads to do the rest of the work out there then.
That's an incredible Derry midfield, they're 8-9. We know Michael Langan and yourself are an incredible duo. Martin McElhinney said it on our podcast during the week. I suppose what maybe some people were feeling was the amount of minutes in the legs. That was more a concern because we know how good you are, and you've dominated and lorded that middle third. You must be delighted with that.
Definitely. It's something myself and Langan have struggled with the past couple of years, as well as injury. Myself more so this year. It's something we feel that we can really push on and build a great partnership together in there in the middle. Like we know we have the potential. It's just tying everything in together, and I suppose you can take nothing away from Conor Glass or Brendan Rodgers either. They've formed a great partnership there throughout the years as well, and in fairness to them, they managed to stay fit and stay on the field. And I suppose just for something for me and Langan to work on now is to try stay on the field and injury free, and it's something that we can strive on.
But yeah, it must be frustrating for any sports person just picking up injuries, because it becomes stop start, doesn't it? And you're here, this is how good I could be. Or
That definitely plays a part at time. Whenever you're not fit to train and watching the boys dogging it out, and you're on the sidelines and you're feeling your body's not allowing you, it is very, very, very frustrating. But thankfully, there's a good team of physios and doctors there now looking out for us. And it was a long 3 months there trying to get back and fit, but hopefully now that I got fit now and I can stay on the field again.
And just finally, I know you need to go, you're going for food and that, and I see McGuinness's coach there. Like, still a number of lads, we talk about the squad game, and I think for many years, and maybe it was a cliche because it's probably only a 17-18 man game, it's definitely a 26 man game now. Still have Keelan McColgan out, Umban Gallagher back, Patrick McBrearty got a couple of minutes today, didn't play the full game, Conor O'Donnell, I'm definitely leaving out two or three players as well, so get those back, could be in good enough shape.
Yeah, definitely. Like, we have some serious talent there that are struggling with injury as well. But they're working away in the background as well to get fit and to get back into the squad and be available for selection. I feel like it's only going to add more and more depth throughout the year.
And finally, just 8 days now. By the time a lot of people listen to this podcast, maybe on their Monday morning commute, we know the result of Cavan or Tyrone. It's not easy, this new championship, is it? I see you agreeing with me. First man to agree with me all out tonight. But it's bang, 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 isn't it?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yes. We have to do everything now in our power to get the bodies right, hey, because it's such a quick turnaround, and that's what we'll do. And I'm sure the work will start now tonight and getting ready for our next task.
You're a gentleman, Jason McGee. Congrats on tonight. Great to see you, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we see you injury free. Thanks for joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast.
Please, guys. Thanks very much. Hey.
Kilkear and Donegal's Ryan McHugh, 4-11 to 17 points. I know you can believe it, but me, as a Donegal supporter, maybe not so much the victory, the manner in the victory. How do you reflect on that?
Yeah, Paddy, listen, first and foremost, great to win. So it is, you know, that's what we came up here to do. Old cliche and stuff, but every match you go into, you have to believe that you have a serious chance of winning it. Listen, we didn't listen to any of the outside chatter now, and I suppose a lot of people probably tipped Derry, and rightly so, to be fair. You know, Derry have been the most informed team and the best team in Ireland this year so far, so we knew we were going up against it, but we concentrated ourselves, and we knew that if we were fit to execute the game plan, the Jim and the boys set up for us, we had a huge, huge chance of winning the game, and thankfully we've done that today.
You had full belief, no doubt, and us Egypt's outside, maybe we weren't saying it maybe on a local podcast because you don't want to be saying it, but we're thinking Derry are going for three in a row in Ulster. They've been a remorseless machine in the province. I was up at that semi-final against Kerry last year. They possibly could have won that. I felt a few refereeing decisions. They won the National League against an incredible Dublin team. You can see why people felt it. And you have come here not just one, but an absolute, not just an ambush, a massacre in the end.
Yeah, listen, and as I touched on there a second, you know, Derry deserved all that, so they did. They've been the best team, as you said last year. They went up to Croke Park in the semi-final and put up a huge performance, could have won it, you know, and it was a tough year for them last year with everything that happened in terms of Rory and different sort of stuff. So all we could do was focus on ourselves, so Paddy, to be honest with you, and that's what we done. Yeah, don't get me wrong, we studied Derry and studied how they're going to play and different sort of stuff, but we really focus on ourselves. We believe that we've as good a footballers as in the country. If we can produce that every single day, we've a huge chance. But listen, it's great to win. I think on the game as a whole, we got the goals at a really, really great time, you know, and I think we've seen the game out very well. Probably could have nicked over a couple of scores at the end, you know, we probably took the wrong options a couple of times. But listen, it's great to win. Unfortunately, Paddy, it's only a one, and it's only a first round of Ulster. We have a huge match next week against Cavan or Tyrone, so it's only one round.
Your own brother Mark is always arguing with me. He never agrees with me in commentary, and he didn't today at half time either. I felt Donegal would be happy enough going in at half time, and Mark says absolutely not. He says Donegal should be further ahead. How did yous feel at half time?
Yeah,
which is more important?
No, listen. Probably a bit of both, as you know, I'm not just avoiding the question, but probably a bit of both. Felt we played very well. Probably the last 10 minutes or so just took the foot off the gas a wee bit, but I'm not sure if you could see it. There was a wee bit of a breeze in it, you know, which was tough enough, so it was, you know, so weren't disappointed, but weren't 100% happy either. And at half time, but we knew we had the work done, and we knew we'd if we were fit to execute the game plan. And I keep going back to that. I know it's a cliche, but if we're fit to do that, and I think we'd done that. You know, I suppose we got off to a great start, so we did with the goal early in the second half and really set us up.
What do you think you've done 9 or 10 out of 10 today? What was the most pleasing aspect of the performance from a player point of view, do you feel?
I'm going to go back to the game plan again, you know, and I'm not going to give away any secrets or nothing like that, but I think what we set out, what we practiced on all, you know, since we've met up at the start of the year, it was all focusing on Derry and getting our game plan right for Derry, and I think we got that extremely well. To be fair to Sean, and we'd be disappointed, but some of his kickouts were unbelievable. So we're landing a plate, Jason around midfield and Michael in midfield. Really, you know, I think to be fair to Conor Glass and Brendan Rodgers, they've probably been the setting the standard in terms of midfielders in Ireland. I think we competed, if not got the better of them, you know. So I think the whole team, I really, you know, you're never going to do that anyway, but I can't pick out anyone that played poorly or anything like that. So I think everyone put in huge performance. Give it their all, Paddy, you know, and, you know. It's well documented, you know, it was a tough year last year for Donegal, and as players, we're in an extremely privileged position that we get the opportunity to put the smile on people's faces of Donegal, you know, and that's something, you know, it's something we touch on in dressing rooms and in training and stuff, is we want to do it for the people of Donegal. We're not going to have the jerseys forever, so we want to leave the jerseys in better places, and we want to put the smile of the people, or put the smile on the faces of people of Donegal, and hopefully we've done that today.
Finally, your own performance in that opening 25 minutes was off the charts. It was outrageous. You have two all-stars. You looked prime peak 2016. You have to be delighted. I know you're humble. All the Donegal team are humble. You must be, though, really pleased on a personal level.
Yeah, listen, I'm happy with my own performance today as a whole team, you know. It's a team game at the end of the day, and listen, I know it is a cliche, but you wouldn't mind playing bad if the team won, but obviously you want to go out and give it your best, for, as I said, for the people in Donegal, for your club and for your family. So you do, thankfully. Yes, you are only as good as your weakest link, so you are, you know, and when the team's playing well, all the boys step up to do. So, no, yeah, I am delighted, so I am with my own performance. Wee bit maybe disappointing in the second half, didn't get into the game as much as probably I would have liked, but listen, it's getting there, Paddy, so it is, you know. Unfortunately, last couple of years I have had a, not making excuses, but I have had a couple of wee knocks and wee niggles and just couldn't get my body to the level that I wanted to get to. Thankfully this year I'm injury free, touch wood, so far, and I'm really, really enjoying it. Great to have Jim back and all the boys back, and he's really pushing us in training, and I'm loving it at the minute.
I'll tell you, I'm not sure if you're going to love this, because I know you're all hungry. There's about 30 kids waiting for you outside McGinnis's bus there, so I better let you away and go to them. You've always been brilliant for the last number of years. Thanks very much. Only 8 days now, unfortunately, but the 10 people listen to the podcast on their Monday morning commute, it'll probably be, 6 days or whatever. It's a quick turnaround. I promise that is the last one. So it's very different now, isn't the mindset to when you first came into the squad in how you approach games?
It is, yeah. And I was you know, myself and Jim actually were chatting about that not that long ago, a couple of weeks ago, that how different it is from when Jim was last involved and stuff like that. It's, I think in 2014 when we beat Derry here, we'd 4 weeks to the Antrim game, so we did, you know, so it's hugely different. We've only 8 days, as you say, turnaround, but listen, it is what it is. Do agree with it? I'm not 100% sure with that. It's a different argument for another day. I do think we're rushing the Ulster Championship a wee bit, and I'm, you know, disappointed in that sort of way, because it's huge. You've seen the crowd here today. It's Ulster Championship at its best ever, and it means so much to everybody, you know, and to be being played the way it's been played, you know, at the minute, I don't think it's fair on the people of Ulster and the teams of Ulster, and they put so much into it. But listen, that's a different argument, so it is. But we're delighted to be in the next round. It's only the next round, you know. We're in a good position that we get to watch Tyrone and Cavan tomorrow, and we'll enjoy that.
You mentioned fair. I'm not being fair, because you really need to go, and you've given up so much of your time. Ryan McHugh, you're a gentleman and a fabulous footballer, and thanks so much for joining me on the Donegal GAA podcast.
No worries. Thank you very much, buddy. Good man.
Okay, the final part of the Donegal GAA podcast. Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life, one of the top journalists in the country, now joins me. And you've been now on a couple of podcasts, and winning ones and losing ones, I suppose, from a Derry point of view. That's probably the first big one. Do you think the feeling in Derry? I know it's still raw and the game's only an hour old. Not many saw this coming, or did people feel there was an ambush on the guards?
I know personally, Paddy, I was concerned about it. Talking to a few people through the county during the week, and they're saying we'll pull through by 6 or 7 points and that type of thing. And to be honest, I couldn't understand where that was coming from. I did worry about the ambush. I did feel we were favourites. I felt we were justifiably favourites, and I did expect us to come through. I expect it to be a battle. But then if you know that you're going to concede 4 goals coming up the road, you sort of think this is going to be completely different. Where did the respect come from? Jim McGuinness is managing Donegal. If Donegal was managed by anybody else today, he probably wouldn't have that same level, because he has won in All-Ireland. He has came and did something different in a lot of the games. So, and then he obviously has brought the Donegal players with him. So that can't be underestimated. I did feel the ambush would have been Jason McGee on the edge of the square, if I'm honest. But it was a different sort of threat. Jason had a good game around the middle. And obviously, Derry pushing up, as they've done a lot for the goals, for the goal chances, that undone them. And that's going to be a difficult thing to pick up. On that, a lot of the breaks, Donegal hoovered up. But when you're playing that game with pushing everybody up, you need the ball. And Donegal got it at every opportunity. And even when there's a few shots dropped short, Patton's fists punched him down. There was always a Donegal jersey. And probably to put the tin hat on it, Patton picked up an injury. Gavin Mulroney goes and kicks the ball over the top of midfield to set up the other goal. So it's obviously something that they've worked on, and something that I was sort of concerned about, that there'd be something. So definitely a very disappointing day, but you take it as it comes, Paddy.
Does it go down from the outside looking in as a McGuinness masterclass, does it?
I don't know if
you... Just a very good performance.
Yeah, I don't know if you say masterclass, because it actually looked quite simple. You know, the route won over the top and they got the goals from it. But I would love to be inside the camp to see what the plan of attack was, but I would get the feeling from the outside that once they beat Kildare, they had 5 weeks to prepare for today. Before today, it was probably Donegal and Derry was in the background. For 5 weeks, it was very much there. And
I know that's a simple point. You said that to me. We were talking during the week about the games and a few other things. You actually did say that to me. And to be honest with you, and I know it's a simple point, sometimes a simple point is a really good one. I actually didn't think of that until you said it. You were like, Donegal 5-6 weeks to now completely focus on this game. Derry were in the Division 1 final, so I suppose, yeah, it was McGuinness was probably waking up in the morning having his cornflakes and thinking of that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, yeah.
Like 91 days ago, Paddy, we were in the Hayley Park box doing this podcast after the McKenna Cup final. You conjured that 91 days out of, you've obviously your homework done. And even that mentality of, that's when it's on, 20th of April, you can ingrain that into somebody.
You can frame it, yeah.
Exactly. And Donegal probably wanted to get promoted, but the Ulster Championship is a massive one for Jim. Derry needed to stay in Division 1. They ended up winning it, which was great. But maybe they didn't have the same level of, I don't know, focus for today. It's hard to put your finger on it. But Donegal definitely, Jim would have been able to frame that. Like, I know whenever Rory came in, he was framing it to the Derry players who were in Division 3 at the time. He was talking about going up the hill in Clonus on the bus and, you know, tasting the cup and all that there. And it gets into the head. So you'd assume that Jim's talking April 20, April 20, April 20. And then we'll make sure we get promoted. But it's all about April 20, and here we are, and they're in the last four.
Yeah. What would be the feeling in Derry? Now, given the new state of the championship, given the new few Derry supporters walking past us here, can't be roared out what they're saying, but no. Given the new nature of the championship, in terms of its ramifications, now the game, if you isolate the game, right, looking at it, Derry now have 4 weeks, 18th of May. That's concrete to get ready for the next phase. So they're not really losing out much there, because okay, they lose the seed one, okay, that's something to lose. But does the manner of the victory now, or Mark McHugh said maybe it'll bring down a little bit of hype, that sometimes can be no harm. We talk about the professional, almost the professional era in that. They're still only amateurs. As in, a lot of the lads work, they'd be hearing that noise, they'd be hearing their favourites, they'd be hearing the X, Y, Z.
It's difficult to blot that out versus, you know, selling the 20th of April story from Jim. So it'll be hard to get over this one because of the manner of it, because of the four goals and, you know, coming from such a high. But it probably tests just the group's, I don't know, mentality, the leaders in the group. You know, they'll maybe take a week off and then come back. And it's whether they really believe they can win All-Ireland. I believe last year when we went down to play Kerry that we would beat them. The players seem to think that, and now they've beaten Dublin. So if they firmly believe there's an All-Ireland in them, then it might not be a bad thing. But then the manner of today's victory, and I suppose the hurt that definitely tests that. It definitely does.
Silly question and last one, and as a Donegal person, really enjoyed today. I would say enjoy the present. No such thing as the past or the future. There's only ever the present. I'm reading a bit of Eckhart Tolle here at the moment, and I'm only joking, but we can only enjoy the present. From the outside looking in, and I know you're very fair and honest, where would you put Donegal now going forward in terms of the general landscape?
I felt this year that this was the Ulster final, sort of, per se. I felt whoever would come out of tonight would win Ulster. I probably haven't changed that. You know, obviously, it's up to Donegal to keep their mentality right. Sean Patton gone off. Depends how seriously injured he is. But I would put Donegal as favourites for Ulster at this stage. I would also put them, you know, if they get to the last stages of an All-Ireland, they'd be in around like a quarter-final, semi-final, who knows. But and the belief that they will get out of this. They've listened to Jim talk about where they need to go. Then they've done it. They've beaten Derry. So that belief will carry them a long way. But as I say, Donegal, I think it was Cahir. I can't remember the stat he used, but he used like a high percentage of players in the Donegal group that had played at the highest level, played in Ulster finals. That hasn't changed. Last year, Aidan O'Rourke, Paddy Bradley, Paddy Carr, probably preparing a team with their hands behind their back in terms of people missing. And today's performance probably cemented that Donegal definitely are a force. And then obviously, you know, they've got a decent minor team and a decent under 21 team again. So, you know, they're in a good position. And I think it was Pádraig Mógán interviewed just outside, and he just talked about how much enjoyment and pride there is for football in the county again. And I think that's what has happened with this group again. But today's all about the winners, Paddy, and that's just the nature of sport. So absolutely devastated. Not looking forward to the drive home, but that's the way it is. And you'll head home with a pep in your step, and fair play to Donegal. And funny, Mickey did say that when he was dissecting the game. He made sure to say, look, you know, you can't not give Donegal credit. They came here with a plan and it worked. And they're in the last four and nobody will want to play them.
This is the last one. I've had a lot of tough drives home. I know it only too well. In fact, I remember you on the podcast and you were just buzzing when Derry beat us in the Ulster final, and I hate those podcasts. And likewise, but listen, just as fans, as players, everybody else, you just get up and get on with it again. That's the beauty of sport. It's just a 4 week wait now, I suppose.
It is. To be honest, I think the longest journey I've ever had home was 2018 from Markovic Park. Derry had been relegated to Division 4. What a horrible journey that was. Derry are in a completely different position at the moment. In the big picture, the level of disappointment's not much better today, but there will be other days, and hopefully it's a matter of regrouping for the group stages. But I think today, even the Kerry result and the Galway result, and obviously Cavan having a good performance, the provincials aren't gone.
And it's definitely too late to get into that one, even though it's a brilliant point. And who's to say me and you won't be talking later on in the year somewhere when Derry play Donegal again? You never know.
We'll see. Be good crack, sure.
If you come on, thanks very much. Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life, one of the finest journalists in the country. Okay, that's it for the weekend's edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. So Donegal have advanced to the Ulster semi-final, where they will take on either Cavan or Tyrone. That match is to be played in 8 days' time from this Saturday. We will be previewing that big one midweek on the Donegal GAA podcast. Every Donegal supporter right throughout the globe, no doubt, absolutely delighted with this evening's victory. That's it. We'll talk to you in a couple of days. A big shout out to Austin O'Callaghan on production for firing out the podcast in rapid time. And also a big shout out to you, our loyal listeners, who tune in your large numbers. Bye for now. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you in a couple of days.